If you would take your Bibles and open with me to the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to take a brief hiatus from the study in Romans and look at a passage in the book of Revelation for the Lord's Supper this morning. I read this passage a few weeks ago. Thought it would be appropriate for our message this morning as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. Revelation chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 14 through 21 as our Lord addresses the seven churches in Asia Minor in general and in particular the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3 verse 14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one of them. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Would you pray with me? Father, bless these moments now as we look into your word. We pray that you would prepare us for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Give us grace in all of these things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies had a wonderful tea yesterday, as I mentioned earlier. I like coffee and tea very much. Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that coffee or that tea has to be either piping hot or ice cold. Anything else is unacceptable. There's no such thing as good lukewarm tea. There's no such thing as good lukewarm coffee. Now we have iced coffee, I understand, in different places. You can buy coffee any way you want to, but it needs to be piping hot or ice cold, one or the other. Anything less than that is unacceptable. The church at Laodicea was a rich church physically, but a bankrupt church spiritually. It was known as one of the wealthiest cities in the region of Phrygia. It was known for its financial wealth, its famous eye salve, and a marvelous textile industry. It made lots of clothing for the ancient world. The problem, though, is not so much what they did, what they didn't do. They didn't depend on God. You know, so often we read in the Bible lists of heinous sins. The sin that God hates the most is not adultery. It's not fornication. It's not theft. It's not lying. The sin God hates the most is the sin of pride. Because you see, all the other sins that are condemned in Scripture basically communicate, I need something. But pride communicates, I don't need anything. Not even God. That was the chief problem in the church at Laodicea. The problem both then and now is the tumor of pride or arrogance or self-sufficiency. It's the same problem the Hebrews had for hundreds of years. A twisted understanding of God's blessing upon their life. And they believed the fiction that somehow they were the ones that created their wealth. They were the ones that maintained the sense of blessing in their life. Nothing could be further from the truth. They were blessed because of God's sovereign choice. Verses 14 through 18, the Lord Jesus points out the problem. And then, amazingly, He offers Himself as the solution. It's one of the most amazing things about the Christian religion. It is not a religion where a God says necessarily, I will do this, this, and this, and fix your problem, or fix your life, or fix your situation. Christianity says of the Lord Jesus, I will offer you myself. And that will address every need you have as a living Savior. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a beautiful reminder of this fact. It's a regular means of experiencing the grace of God, which we all need. And I say this morning that this passage in Revelation and this supper serve to remind us and to recommend to us concerning the Lord Jesus. To remind us of what He's done for us, but also spiritually to recommend the Lord Jesus, who is present with us in this worship hour, to recommend Him to us as the solution to our problems and the answer to all of our questions. This passage and this table call us to remember and experience God's grace and kindness and forgiveness. Revelation 3 and this table this morning communicate a sense of three things: a sense of intensity, a sense of urgency, and a sense of intimacy with regard to our relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to explore these three characteristics this morning in this passage, and really not the entire passage, but those verses in 19 and 20, where the Lord Jesus Himself says, "Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in fellowship with him and he with me." The three words I want to mention this morning in connection with this passage, and prior to the time where we commune with the Lord through the supper. The first one is intensity. Intensity. How should I approach the table? Same way that I should approach God's Word every time I open it, with a sense of intensity. You know, when I was young, I was taught good manners. Now, whether or not I fulfilled that teaching is left to discussion. But I was taught not to spit. And in this passage, you see the Lord Jesus doing the very thing that we would find repulsive ordinarily. He tells the church at Laodicea, "You're neither hot nor cold, and therefore I will spit you out of my mouth." Or some of the other translations say, "I will spew you out of my mouth," as if the Lord Jesus was sick to his stomach. This passage presents Jesus as no gentleman, any more than it presents the Christian faith as lukewarm, insipid, irrelevant, or insincere. This passage is arresting. It communicates the intensity of the Lord Jesus. He's not a politician. He's not a card player. He's not looking for recruits from the bottom of the barrel. He wants those who follow Him to live their lives with the same intensity that He lived His with. Intensity. He consistently calls for the same integrity and intensity in His followers. I want you to follow me. I see that you are rich. I see that you have eye salve. I see that you have a textile industry and marvelous clothes, but you don't realize what you don't have, and that is me. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 19, "Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." Repent of what? Of self-sufficiency. Of living life on your own. Of calling the shots, of pulling the strings. You see, what the intensity is that the Lord Jesus wants is an intense hunger and thirst for His presence. For His life in your life, in my life. Because even though we may pay our taxes and we may not break the Ten Commandments as we see it, if we go through life coping on our own without an intense hunger for the Lord Jesus and a desire to be in His presence, then we're blowing it. You notice I'm calling for intensity, not perfection. The Lord Jesus presupposes the fact that we're sinners. He says, "Be earnest and repent." That is, be determined, be sincere, be serious. That's what the word earnest means. And again, it's not that they've committed some heinous crime, it's that they're trying to go through life without God. And that disgusts the Lord Jesus the most. I think we're all guilty of that at one time or another. This supper communicates that we can't go through life without God. We need nourishment for the soul. And without that, we don't have anything. One of the things I love about King David is that he was earnest for God. He was earnest for God whether he was right with God or whether he was wrong with God. You ever notice that? When you read the Psalms, you have a degree of intensity that goes way beyond the ordinary. Whether you're reading Psalm 103, where David is at a high point, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name." Or you read Psalm 32, where David is at a low point, and he's committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he talks about the fact that when he kept silent about his sin, his bones wasted away through his groaning all day long. It didn't matter if David was at a high point or a low point. If he was walking with God or walking in sin, there was a sense of intensity and a desire to get close to God. A realization that if I'm not walking with God, if I'm not dependent upon Him, if I'm trying to cope with my life without God, something is seriously wrong. I want to challenge you as you come to the table this morning to come with that sense of intensity and passion and zeal. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. But if you know in your own heart that just like those at Laodicea, that in spite of my income, in spite of my clothing, in spite of all the other blessings I have, I am naked and poor and blind without Jesus, I will live my life with intensity to be close to Him. Some of us will wake up tomorrow and face surgery, or this week. Some of us will wake up and face a great day and a great week. But you're never assured of anything, are you? We don't know what we will face. The one thing the Lord Jesus requests of us is face life with a sense of intensity. But I need You, Lord Jesus. Well, there's a sense of urgency too. Now, I love this. Look at verse 20 with me, if you would. It's kind of the heart of the message. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Not only is there a sense of intensity, but a sense of urgency. And so often we talk about trying to find God. Where is God in my life? And here is the Lord as He lovingly rebukes His church at Laodicea, and He says, "Here I am." In other words, you don't have to look behind a bush. I'm not hiding anywhere. There's no ambiguity to it. I am here, and I'm knocking at the door. Whether it's the door of the church or the door of a heart, individually, Jesus says, "I am present." I think about that runaway bride, Jennifer Wilbanks, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in Duluth. Everybody read for several days now, wondering what happened to her. Was she abducted? Was she kidnapped? Was she taken away? No! She got the jitters. She ended up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and called from a 7-Eleven to let folk know she was not ready to get married yet. A little bit nervous about it. Needed to think it through. One guy reported who ran a restaurant right outside of Duluth who gave coffee and sandwiches to searchers. He said, "I'm glad she's safe. I'm glad she's all right. But having said that, it's one of the most selfish things she could have ever done." They said, "We turned over every leaf in Duluth, Georgia, trying to find this young woman who we believe was abducted, taken away, and kidnapped." It's not that way with the Lord Jesus. You don't have to turn over every leaf. He's standing right there saying, "I am here." As when we take the Lord's Supper, as when you hear the message, "I'm here." In fact, the amazing thing about it is the Lord Jesus is standing there without a supper in hand. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." If you close with God, He will close with you. That's why James says, "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you." That's why over and over again in the Bible, the Scriptures speak of the Lord God seeking those who want to be close to Him. In John's Gospel, with the woman at the well who'd had five husbands and was living with a man currently, Jesus targets her. He loves her. He reaches out to her. And He says that, "I that speak to thee am He." I'm the Messiah. But He goes on to talk about real worship, and He says the Father seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth, that is, personally and in reality. Isn't that amazing that the Lord Jesus said that to a woman who had five husbands and was currently shacking with a guy? He said, "I seek worshipers who in spirit and in truth, with intensity, want to find me." Are you one? Doesn't matter how dirty you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is that sense of urgency that you desire to be close to me. And if you close with me, I will close with you. Here I am. No ambiguity about it. I stand at the door and knock. At the YMCA, there's a picture up there of a famous American with a little statement underneath it. It is always the right time to do the right thing. It is always the right time to do the right thing. For the Christian, it means it's always the right time to seek the face of the Lord Jesus, to ask for His closeness, to be intense with Him. The Lord Jesus calls for intensity, but also a sense of urgency. There's no time to wait. I love what the Apostle Paul said when he was preaching in Athens in Acts chapter 17. He said that God did all of these things, creation, and sent the Lord Jesus so that we might seek Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. The Lord God is close. And He says, seek me. But there's a sense of urgency. No time to wait. Jesus says, here I am. Without reference to the sacrament, without reference to any conditions on your part, without reference to you cleaning up, He says, here I am knocking. But He calls us to open the door. And that's my third point this morning, that sense of intimacy. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus wants to be intimate. It's not a matter of Him fixing your life or doing something necessarily for you. It's just hanging out with you, as we would say in our terminology these days. He wants an intimate relationship. And what we do too often is try to cope with life without Him. And there is no sense of intimacy. There's a sense of worry. There's a sense of anxiety. There's a wondering what's going to happen next instead of a sense of security. That I know Jesus Christ died for me. And I know that He loves me and He has my best interest in mind. Whether I have a carefree week or a scary week. Whether finances are good or finances are bad. Whether my health is superior or I'm going through hard times. The Lord Jesus says, I want to be intimate. Now, throughout history, it's often been noted that a high level of intimacy must be obtained before people or families or even dignitaries sit down and enjoy a meal together. When you eat with somebody, it communicates something, a sense of closeness. No wonder the Lord Jesus speaks of a meal. What He's communicating there is, I want a sense of intimacy with you. I want you to seek my face with intensity. I want you to do it right now. Don't put it off till tomorrow. With urgency. And I want to hang out with you. I want a sense of intimacy. Just being there. When I was younger and entered the ministry, the most challenging age group in life that I found was not senior citizens. It wasn't high school age people. It wasn't even middle aged people or empty nesters. It wasn't children. It wasn't college students. It was junior high students. Most challenging group. And one of the greatest things I think I ever did in ministry was one of the things I greatly regret. And that is I served as a counselor for a group of 17 junior high boys in a cabin at a lake for a whole week. And I went to that camp nervous because I thought, I don't know a lot of things to do to entertain these kids. I don't know how to make them happy. I don't know how to be popular with them. I don't know what to do that will keep their attention. And so we went through the week, and you know what it's like with 17 junior high age boys. If you spend a week with them, your life will be changed forever. They did everything they could to embarrass me, to make me flinch, every kind of noise you could possibly imagine, everything that a junior high kid could do to make you snicker or laugh, keep you up all night, shoving dirty socks in your face, making rackets. And what I found at the end of that week is that I didn't do much of anything. They did it all to me. They did it all. But the most important thing that I learned through that whole time was not that I had a bag of tricks, not that I was somebody famous, not that I could sign autographs or do anything wonderful for them, but the fact that I was simply there. And the fact that I would deal with them and the stuff that they would serve up to me and not reject them. The fact that I would stay in the cabin and not go to another air-conditioned unit for the night so that I would not be abused. Just that I was there, communicated something. It's the same with the Lord Jesus. He wants to be intimate with us. He knows all of our dirt and all of our past and all of those thoughts that we have that nobody else knows. And He says, I forgive you. I forgive you. He knows when we cry out and we don't understand things. He knows when life doesn't make sense. And He says to us, I understand. And I want to be close to you. And if you really think about it, the only thing important in life, the only thing, is not that your problems get fixed or your questions get answered, but that Jesus Christ is close to you, intimate with you. And there is a sense of fellowship. It makes all the difference in the world. I want to challenge you this morning to seek the face of Christ with a sense of intensity, with a sense of urgency, and also with a sense of intimacy, and enjoy that intimacy as we partake of the supper, the presence of Christ spiritually as we partake of the elements. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word and for this supper. Thank You, Lord, for Your loving rebuke to the people at Laodicea. May we respond to that now. And Father, I pray that in the silence of the serving of these elements and with the singing that we will hear, and all that we will do, that we will celebrate Your presence and enter into an intimate moment as we enjoy food for the soul. Father, bless these moments now. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.